This episode of 3GT is sponsored by Crown and Covenant Publications, your resource for psalm singing and serious scripture study. Stay tuned. Later in the show, we'll tell you how you could win some free gifts from Crown and Covenant, as well as some special discounts that Crown and Covenant are giving to all 3GT listeners. More about that later on our show, and more about Crown and Covenant at crownandcovenant.com. Welcome to 3GT, a podcast where a pastor, parishioner, and professor have lively conversations on practical Christian living from a Reformed perspective. For more information, visit our website at 3GT.fm.
GT. Today we're going to start by doing a little bit of a rewind. A number of episodes ago, we talked about who may come to the Lord's table, some of the qualifications for communing in the church, and we got a very good question as a result of that. And I'm going to read the question that we got, and then we will discuss that a little bit. So the question we received was this: what about memory challenged adults? For example, Grandma has been a devout and faithful follower of Jesus for 70 plus years, attends worship regularly, has a sweet, loving spirit, desires to commune, but has almost no short-term memory. How could the elders discern if Grandma can discern the body and the blood of the Lord? Is that the controlling issue? And I think before we maybe jump to some answers for that, you can't read this question and not think about other people who might be mentally unable to probably do what we would ordinarily do when it comes to the Lord's Supper. So not just thinking of Grandma, thinking about those that might have mental disabilities, mental challenges. What do we think Scripture says, or what pastoral advice, what help might we give to people like that when it comes to the Lord's table?
Well, I do think that's a great question. And of course, in our last, or in that podcast where we were talking about the Lord's table, we were talking about the qualifications, and we mentioned the need for faith to be present and evident. We were discussing something that's been growing in popularity among some Reformed denominations, which is paedo communion practice, where young children are allowed to the Lord's table. And we were saying that there needed to be some sufficient maturity expressed and evidence before someone was given that privilege. So that's, I think, part of why this question's coming to us. And let's take first just the question that was asked. The question was with respect to this woman who's been faithful in the church and evidence faith over her life, and then towards the end of her life begins to perhaps have dementia or something that would render her less able to engage knowledgeably at the Lord's table. And when I read this question, my mind immediately went to some people that I know that have come to this place in their life. And one of the things that you see in those who truly know Christ is even when they're no longer able to express it the way that they once did, you can still see the presence of the Lord's Spirit in them. And they should still have that privilege granted to them. Our documents that we use in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, our directory for worship, talk about that we have to, as we're looking at people, we do have to take these things into consideration, their mental abilities, and all, as we assess the reality of faith in their life. And so what we're really ultimately looking for is faith. And if we see that present, particularly knowing that it's been present in this elderly lady's life, then certainly we would continue to invite her and have her partaking in the Lord's Supper.
Aaron, what do you think?
This is something that I've really never even thought through before, to be perfectly honest. things along these lines would be conversations that I've heard about, you know, can someone with mental disabilities truly make a profession of faith? And, you know, how do you know, and things like that. So I think this would fall into a similar category of, you know, there's probably not a blanket answer that everyone is, you know, different and individual. And we really, you know, do need to trust our elders with, you know, to whom the keys of the kingdom have been entrusted, to be able to discern those things, knowing that someone, Barry, as you were saying, you know, has obviously, you know, been a faithful servant of Christ for their whole life. There's no evidence to believe otherwise that would limit or prohibit them from coming to the table. That's obviously, you know, the wise thing to do. So, I'm at a bit of a loss to really even know how to engage. So I'm just going to go back to my parishioner role and listen to your all's wisdom. Dodge that
he
bullet.
He pulled the parishioner card out.
Yeah, well, that's his prerogative.
Well, what if we were to expand the question a little bit, as I've already noted, and not maybe deal with just a grandmother who has been a faithful member for 70 plus years and in times when she was more mentally capable, had really borne fruit and evidences. Barry, what do you think we do with people who don't necessarily have that past and that history, but have certain mental disabilities? What do you do with them with regards to the Lord's Supper?
Again, if, you know, a Christian family has a child with Down syndrome or other difficulties of that nature, I think we, you know, they should be baptized and really be made a part of the visible church. They should be taught to the capacity that they're able to understand. And we should look for, as far, insofar as they're able to express it, evidences of faith and love for Christ in their life. And again, when they're to a age and a stage where they may be able to express that, and even though it might be limited in some ways compared to others, we should readily receive them at the Lord's table. You know, there can be some people that are so severely handicapped that they don't have an awareness of what's going on. And I think we have to be a little bit careful not to look so mystically at the table that we try to, you know, in a sense, push the sign on them and the seal on them if God hasn't given them the ability to receive it. You know, someone who can't swallow, for instance, and who's got a feeding tube, is it really of such a vital importance that we have them take the supper that we do it, you know, through a feeding tube? I don't know if that's really where we want to necessarily go. I wouldn't say that that's necessarily wrong, but I think we have to be careful that we don't begin to supplant the substance for the sign. In other words, what I ultimately care about for people is that they know the Lord, and I want to do whatever I can as a minister to encourage their faith. And certainly for most of God's people, to be able to be at church and worship and partake of the sacraments is part of their experience. But sometimes the Lord just prevents someone this side of heaven from full participation in certain things. And so we just have to work with those, you know, on a case by case basis.
Yeah, Barry, I think that's a good point. I think it kind of covers all of the types of individuals that might fall into the various categories we've been addressing. Is, you know, we don't want to impose it on them. We want their desire to be to come to the table. And so, you know, in so much as that somebody has that desire, that seems to be an expression of their faith, and that faith is leading them to want to participate in that sacrament, rather than just kind of blindly giving it to people and like, here, you should have this. It's, you know, if that person desires to receive it, and there is some evidence in so much as they are able to express that, that that they should be allowed to the table. Is mm-hmm. is that a good synopsis of what you've been explaining?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Any further? Want to make sure I'm hearing all this correctly.
Yeah. You have any further thoughts on that, Kyle?
Oh, I'm just going to throw my pastor card out and I'm just going to sit and listen. So, you know, I think, this is a question that probably in its details warrants much more of a pastoral response than a podcast can give. Obviously, if there's people in the church and this is a very real issue for them, this is a very real question. You know, in my pastoral ministry, it's a question I've had to deal with. And so I don't want anything that I'm about to say to say this is exactly as a pastor in a local church how I'd always approach it. But I think, Barry, one of the things that you said that stuck out to me is a case-by-case basis. And I think that's going to be fundamentally important in the way that we address this question. And I think that because, just as you already pointed out, there are certain circumstances, even in a believer's life, when they may be physically incapacitated to such a degree that they cannot participate in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper requires a physical action. And there are circumstances where believers cannot actually fulfill the required physical action, and we don't force it upon them. And in a like manner, I think there are, or I can imagine, scenarios where there are an inability mentally to be able to do what the Lord's Supper calls us to do. The Lord's Supper is not only a physical action, it is a mental action. 1 Corinthians 11, when we, you know, In as much as you eat this and drink this, do this in remembrance of me. It does require the use of the mind. It requires a comprehension of what those signs signify and what they mean. And so I can imagine some particular cases, and it truly is, my heart breaks, and I think, you know, you almost get dread in being a pastor having to address people one-on-one on this issue, but there very well could be a situation where, for the good of that individual, you say, you know, it might be best to abstain. But even as you say that, I would want to emphasize even what you've emphasized, Barry, and maybe take that another step, is that, you know, we don't want to assign a mystical significance to it. We don't want to mistake the sign for the thing signified. And more than that, is a reminder to people, as Herman Bavinck argued. So if you're going to disagree with this, just disagree with the great Bavinck. Bavinck makes a great point in his Dogmatics on the issue of the Lord's Supper, that the Lord's Supper does not give us another grace that the Word of God does not. Mm-hmm. That the Word mm-hmm. of God read and the Word of God preached gives us the same grace that the Lord's Supper does. It might give it to us in a slightly different way, but, you know, in keeping somebody that might be physically or mentally unable to come to the table, we're not therefore saying you're excluded from the grace of God or God isn't trying to convey his grace. We emphasize there are other means by which the Lord gives us grace, builds our faith, and encourages us all the more in the Lord. So I guess my answer is I don't know that I'd blanket answer it yes, and I wouldn't blanket answer it no. I'd go back case by case situation, but I do think there are circumstances where, due to mental incapacities, as pastorally difficult as it would be to try to encourage people, that you might want to keep yourself from the Lord's table. And I know that in today's world, that seems so politically incorrect. In today's world, that seems so exclusive. And I'd want to make sure, no, that's not at all what we're saying. That's not what we're doing. You know, there's certain realities here that even though we regard it as a covenant privilege, there are circumstances where we're not able to do certain things. But it would be a case-by-case basis, as you said.
Right, which just points out how important shepherding is in a local church.
Yes.
That some of these just have to be wrestled through with elders and the people of God.
We'd like to thank Crown and Covenant for sponsoring our show today. They've been kind enough to offer a giveaway of one Slim Mini 2.0 Book of Psalms for Worship. This is a $19 value. This is the pocket edition of the Book of Psalms for Worship. And what we're going to do today is we're going to give this away to the first person who retweets the 3GT Twitter post about this episode. So only for Twitter today. So the first person to retweet it, we will contact you. We'll get your information. We'll get that over to Crown and Covenant. And you will receive one Slim Mini 2.0 in Navy Complete Book of Psalms for Worship Pocket Edition. This is a $19 value. But in addition to that, for anyone who listens to our show today, Crown and Covenant is offering a special coupon code. This is going to give you $6 off the Slim Mini Navy or Charcoal. The coupon code you'll use is 3GTSpecial. You'll use that at the checkout on Crown and Covenant's website. They can be found at crownandcovenant.com. And that coupon code again is 3GTSpecial. That's the number 3GTSpecial. Use that at checkout. And that offer expires on March 15th. So act quickly to receive the special offer that they're giving our 3GT listeners. Thank you again to Crown and Covenant for their sponsorship for our show this week.